about to listen to a sermon from Newtown Erskineville Anglican Church. As a church, we want to see whole communities captivated by Jesus Christ and living out his freedom.
This morning's reading is Acts chapter 8, verses 26 to 40. And if you're following along in the church Bibles, it's on page 890. Acts chapter 8, verses 26 to 40. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of the Kandake, which means Queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you are reading?" Philip asked. "How can I," he said, "unless someone explains it to me?" So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. This is the passage of scripture that the eunuch was reading. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and traveled about, preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. This is the word of the Lord. We'll now have Andrew from our mission team come up and explain God's word.
Well, good morning, everyone. My name is Andrew, and it is a pleasure to be with you here this morning. It has been a pleasure to be with you here all week. It's been such a wonderful time together. We've come along to a few of the celebrations of the 150th service, and we've been mostly down at Erskineville, getting that place ready for the launch this afternoon, and we've been doing a fair bit of gardening, but we've been going out into the suburbs to invite people along to the service. We've been walking the streets, we've been knocking on people's doors, and I don't know whether you've ever done some door knocking before, but for me personally, I find it so terrifying. It is so scary because you're coming into their space. Around here, there's gates to open up, and so you open up the gate, figure out how to do that, and you walk up to the door, and you're looking around, and there's this old doorbell that you're not quite sure if it works, so you kind of push it, and you don't really hear anything, and you're wondering, do I knock on the door? Do I push it again? I don't know. But then you hear the dog barking, and you're like, oh no, like the owner's going to be so mad that we've set the dog off. And then you hear them kind of walking towards the door, and you're just wondering, what am I going to say? Like, what's going to happen here? What's their reaction going to be to this? And they open the door, and you just have to kind of start speaking, because from their point of view, they're expecting the Amazon delivery driver or their friends are going to rock up any moment, and here you are just kind of offering a seed card to them. It's terrifying. It's so scary. Thankfully, the vast majority of people were really thankful for the little seed cards. There are a couple of people who were, you know, as soon as they heard we were from the church, they just kind of shut the door and off we went to the next house. You go out and you do it again. Why would we do that? I found myself asking that question a couple of times. Why am I doing this? Why am I willingly putting myself through this? But that's not the only time we may have thoughts like that. Maybe it's sitting around a family dinner table and we hear from a family member something and we get that sense that maybe we should invite them along to church. Maybe we should direct this conversation towards Jesus. What if they don't respond well? What if they do kind of respond well, and how often should you invite them along to something else? It's scary sometimes. Why do we do those things? Well, the story that we're looking at this morning gives us confidence. It gives us confidence in those moments where we feel nervous, where we feel afraid. Because in this story, we see that God plans for all kinds of people to meet Jesus and rejoice. That is God's mission. That's why we call it, you know, Mission Week at college, because we're out on this mission to let people know that God plans for all kinds of people to meet Jesus and rejoice. And this morning, we're just going to quickly break that down into four parts, as you can probably see on your outline there. First of all, how does God accomplish his mission? How does the mission succeed? Well, the mission succeeds because God is actively working by his Spirit. God is actively working by his Spirit. Let's see this in the story before us from verse 26. Now, an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." God sends a messenger to Philip with an explicit instruction. And I don't think we should miss how weird this instruction is, because if it wasn't for this specific angel of the Lord, then I doubt Philip would have been in this specific place at this time. Just before this event, Philip was in a big Samaritan city, and he was doing really great stuff. It was really successful there. He told many people about Jesus, and so many people believed. There was this massive success. What's next for him? I mean, it would be like a big famous preacher comes to Australia, comes to Sydney, and fills out stadiums with people hearing him. It would be like if he came and there was this great move of God in the city. Thousands of Sydneysiders come to believe. What should the next move be? What should he do next? Maybe meet with some of the key church leaders, maybe visit some of the churches around Sydney, maybe go somewhere else to do the exact same thing in another big city. Well, that's not what we see Philip do here right away. No, Philip was sent to a desert road leading out of Jerusalem. It would be like if there was this revival in Sydney, and then the famous preacher goes and hitchhikes on a highway leading out of Sydney, just hoping for a car to pick him up and maybe he can have a good chat with them. Like, that's a bit bizarre that he goes from this big, massive success in this city, and now he goes to this desert road. But Philip does it because God is actively in control. God doesn't stop with that instruction. In verse 29, we're told outright, the Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." And then this man in the chariot just happens to be reading this specific section of Isaiah. And then look, there just happens to be some water that they can baptize the man in. God is totally in control of this whole event, preparing Philip and this man to meet in this way. And we see the spread of the gospel is not some fortunate coincidence that just happens to spread, but it is God's deliberate plan. And it continues to be God's deliberate plan even today. Even in this world, in this city, in this suburb right now, God still wants to reach people with the good news, setting circumstances up for people to meet Jesus. I heard a story of a teenager recently who he was telling me about how he became a Christian. And he used to be, when he was kind of in primary school, a bit of a loose unit. He would get in trouble sometimes. And so one time he was forced to clean up this room after a meeting. And that room just happened to be used by the lunchtime Christian group. And as he was cleaning the room, the projector happened to be on, and it happened to have a Bible verse on there. And he was cleaning, and he looked up and saw this Bible verse and thought, huh, that's interesting. And so the next week, he comes along to the lunchtime Christian group. And then I'm sitting there with him years later, and he's still a part of lunchtime Christian groups, and he believes Jesus, he loves Jesus, and he's actually helping other people to know Jesus too. I just think that, that's an awesome story of God just placing him in that specific moment to read that verse on the screen. And it's happened this week. We've found members of our team in specific places on the footpath to chat to people and invite them into church who seem keen. A law student at the moment just happened to talk with the only lawyer trained on our team who seemed keen to come along to the launch this afternoon. God is still actively at work in this world to bring people to himself. That's how God's mission succeeds, by his Spirit at work. Next we see, who is this mission for? The story shows us that it is for all kinds of people. And we see one of them in verse 27. So Philip started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of the Kandake, which means Queen of the Ethiopians. Philip meets a man who embodies the outsider in multiple ways. First of all, this man is an Ethiopian. And back in that day, Ethiopia was considered kind of the ends of the earth. Like, they didn't have a sense that they lied anything beyond Ethiopia. Next, this man was a eunuch. A eunuch, in the most direct sense, is somebody who has been castrated. They can't have kids, they can't have a family. And as such, they were placed in high positions of society to look after things there. This is someone who is sexually atypical, not fitting within the societal norm of having a family. Thirdly, this man is a financial treasurer of a country. He is in such a high position back in Ethiopia, such a high status, not any common man. So in three ways, we see that this man is an outsider. He's very different from someone like Philip, which of course reminds us that God's mission is for all kinds of people. There is not, think about it, there is not a single person walking along King Street right now that is excluded from God's mission. I've lived in Newtown the past 3 years while at college. This week as a team, we've been on the streets, we've been interacting with all sorts of different people in Erskineville. We've met older women, we've met younger men, people from Asia, Europe, South America. We've met people who work in big corporate jobs who work from home. We've met people who are out doing labor. We've met people in run-down houses. We've met people who live in million-dollar townhouses, people who identify as LGBTQ, people who were really happy to see us and knew the church already, people who wanted nothing to do with us and shut the door in our faces. We've met people with dogs. Actually, we've met a lot of people with dogs. It turns out there are a lot of dogs in Erskineville. We've met people with kids. We've met people without kids. There are all sorts of people living around us, and not one of them, not a single one, is beyond God's reach. Do you believe this? Do you believe that there is not a single person who God cannot reach where they are? Do you believe this about your neighbors, the people who you interact with every day? Maybe people who you've written off, people who you think would have no interest in church or Christianity. Do you believe that God can work in their hearts by his Spirit? They may be asking big questions in life. They may be going through something that, as you have loved and cared for them, God is placing you in that moment to be able to introduce them to Jesus. This story this morning shows us that God's mission is for all kinds of people. Well, we've spoken a lot so far about God's mission. It's probably helpful to actually say, what is God's mission? What is it? Well, here's this guy, an outsider, coming back from worshiping in Jerusalem. Although we know from Deuteronomy 23, verse 1, that he wasn't actually allowed to gather and assemble together inside the temple because he was a eunuch. And he happens to be reading from this section in Isaiah about this mysterious figure, and so he invites Philip up into the chariot. And Philip is there, ready to introduce the man to who this mysterious figure actually is. Who is this figure who was humiliated and slaughtered? Who is this figure who has no descendants to speak of? I mean, it's easy to see why the eunuch would want to know who this mysterious figure is, wouldn't he? Like, it makes sense because the eunuch doesn't have any children. And here is this passage talking about this man who has been humiliated and who has no descendants to speak of. And here is this figure presented in Scripture. Naturally, he asks Philip, tell me, please, who is this man? And then we get these marvelous words in verse 35, which tell us what God's mission is. Verse 35, then Philip began with that very passage of Scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. This is what it was all leading to. God planned for this Ethiopian eunuch to meet Jesus. This is God's mission. This Ethiopian eunuch read in the Scripture, this man who was crushed so that we would not be crushed. He was humiliated so that we would not be humiliated. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, so that we, the wayward sheep, could go free, pouring out his life so that we might live. This figure is Jesus. And it all made sense to the man. He met Jesus and he believed. Although we see that he doesn't physically meet Jesus. He doesn't meet him face to face like so many others did with Jesus. Didn't see him in person, didn't feel the nail-scarred hands, but he met Jesus in the Scripture, in words written long ago. And Philip came along and pointed him, this figure is Jesus. Brothers and sisters, that should give us great confidence in the words we have written in the Bibles before us. Should give us great confidence, shouldn't it? That these are the very words of God. They have stories about what Jesus did, who he is. They have eyewitness proof of people seeing the resurrected Jesus. Letters describing the impact that Jesus had on the churches. We can trust that as people read these words in the Bible, that God's Spirit will be at work. It's the story of so many people. One of my best mates now, this is his story. As he left high school, he wanted nothing to do with Christianity. It was the last thing on his mind. He was just seeking a good job, having some fun with mates. And then he had a Christian in his life who was willing to go beyond that social awkwardness and encouraged him to read the Bible. And my mate sat down with the Bible open and he read. And as he read the Bible, he realized who Jesus was. And as he was reading the Bible, he stopped and he prayed in his heart. And he believed. And he was saved. It wasn't because of some big evangelistic event, though that's great. It wasn't because of a conversation that he was persuaded from the person speaking, though that's really helpful sometimes. But for him, it was as he just sat down with the Bible and he just read and he met Jesus. We heard from Rosie just before that it was as she heard and read those words from Romans 5:8 that hit home for her. The words in the Bible are powerful. Do you have someone in your life who you can be inviting to read the Bible with you? Do you have someone that you can invite to sit down, maybe over a coffee, maybe over a beer at the pub, to just sit down and read a couple of chapters of the gospel together, maybe the gospel of Mark? Think, who could that be? Who could you invite to sit down and read these powerful words of God together? That we would push through that social awkwardness and invite people to do that. And we do that because of where it leads. And that brings us to our fourth point this morning, our fourth and final point. Where does all this lead? In the most immediate sense, it leads to a river because this man's so excited that he just wants to be baptized right away. For Philip, this leads somewhere else. He is taken away immediately, but this man doesn't care. What does the story say that he does? Well, the eunuch did not see Philip again, but he went on his way rejoicing. This is the end result for this outsider, that he went home with joy in his heart. Happy, glad, filled with joy. This is where God's mission leads to time and time again. We see it in the Gospels. People meet Jesus and they are filled with joy because they realize who he is. And even today when people meet Jesus, when they know who Jesus is, people walk away rejoicing. Why is that? Well, because people are moved from the outside in. They are welcomed into God's kingdom as sons and daughters dearly loved. If this eunuch kept on reading, which I suspect that he did, only three chapters later, he would have found these words. Let no foreigner who is bound to the Lord say, the Lord will surely exclude me from his people. And let no eunuch complain, I am only a dry tree. But God says, I will give them an everlasting name that will endure forever. This is such a beautiful picture, isn't it? An outsider brought into God's kingdom, finding a home, finding a family that will endure forever. He has been brought into God's kingdom, no longer excluded, but welcomed with open arms. This is such good news, isn't it? This is such good news because we live in a world that is filled with so much pain, with so much uncertainty. You just have to look at the news to see what is going on in the world out there. And we just have to look at ourselves and those around us to see the pain, to see the anger and the hurt, to see grief and loss, to see fear and anxiety. We see all of these things in our broken world. It is so easy to look around and see that this world is not as it should be. But as we meet Jesus, as we see who Jesus is, who faced humiliation, who faced injustice, who faced death, Jesus, who is the slaughtered lamb, well, we see that his death means life for us. And we are included in his kingdom, a kingdom that can never be shaken, a kingdom where there is no more mourning or crying or pain, a kingdom that never ends. That is what this Ethiopian eunuch is brought into. That is what we are brought into. and it leads to a joy that is far greater than anything this world has to offer. I wonder, do you have this joy today? Do you have this joy? If you don't, like we've already spoken about, a great place to read is the Bible. Get your hands on a Bible and open up, start reading Mark's Gospel. If you do have this joy already, well, are you helping others to find this joy? Look at what Philip does. Straight after this happens, this incredible thing, what does Philip do? Well, Philip's already on to the next place. He's already gone to help other people find joy. He wants other people to meet Jesus and receive joy. As we finish up, I'm going to pray in a second that we would be swept up in God's mission. As we've seen this morning, God's plan is for all kinds of people to meet Jesus and rejoice. Whether you are like Philip, who helps other people to meet Jesus and rejoice, or whether this morning you are like that Ethiopian eunuch who meets Jesus and leaves with joy in his heart. This is God's mission. Will we be a part of it? Let's pray and ask that we would. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus. Thank you that his death means life for us, that as we believe in him, we are brought into your kingdom, brought in from the outside, and we are welcomed by you. Heavenly Father, may we see your mission clearly. Please, Lord, help us to know Jesus, to help other people know Jesus, and that in doing so, we would have joy and those around us would have joy. Lord, we ask for your Spirit to be at work in us, in our words, in our actions, in our heart. Lord, we ask this because we are not strong enough. We need your help. Please, Lord, help us. Fill us with this joy. And we ask these things in your Son's name. Amen.
Listening to the Newtown Erskineville Anglican Church podcast. For more audio content and information about our church, please visit neac.com.au.